ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the very first bi-coastal radio show. I'm just going to say that because I think it is. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to it.
I think it's true.
Right.
Name another one. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
For all we know, Brian and the judge can be bi-coastal.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they're a radio show.
I don't even think they're on the air. But anyway, your point is well taken.
Okay.
StephanieMiller.com. Oh, we have an exciting technological announcement. I was able to actually send a picture to Chris from my BlackBerry. So we have for the first picture of me in Fred Max in Central Park.
Now, that's one of the ones that went through before.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you sent me an old one.
Okay. I'll have the pictures of the trip up then today, if I can figure the rest of it out.
Oh,
StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie. Voice deity, Jim Ward. A surly associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. Or me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, it's a beautiful day in New York today.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday it was raining.
Yeah.
And you know I have big fluffy white dogs.
Yes, you do.
Yes, and so it was a dog gang initiation day for my dogs in Central Park. There was a lot of, there was sort of like a lab gang.
Oh.
They're a little rougher in New York, Chris, a little rougher.
Okay.
A little bit of a, yeah.
Were they the Sharks or the Jets?
I'm not really sure. Their whole goal was to slam the fluffy white dogs into the mud, I think. That was, yo, fluffy white Hollywood dogs. Let's get a little dirt on you, see how that looks. So, you're not so white, are you?
How do you give a big dog like that a bath in New York City?
You know what? That's something that's on my to-do list.
Okay, great.
You should mention it. All right. So, you know who I am going to make a play date with for Max and Fred with, though?
Who?
Rachel Maddow. Rachel, who I ran into the other night at MSNBC, she says she has a fat lab,
oh,
which I think is better for them, because really not athletic enough to slam them into the mud. So I will make a play date with Rachel's dog and
okay,
my dogs at some point in the very near.
So she's another person that has a giant dog in New York City.
Yes, but I know she's not here on the weekends. She goes to Massachusetts
okay,
with her lovely partner, Susan,
okay,
apparently, and presumably the fat lab.
Yes.
I just want to say she called him fat, not me. I've never seen the dog, so... All right, I'm still, here's the other thing. I'm still adjusting, you know, as you know, Mama takes the subway
right
into work. And I still am in that place where I don't know which train goes where exactly or which. And unfortunately for me, too, my stop is Times Square, which
oh
makes
boy
me look like even more of a tourist.
Oh,
because
no,
I have to go to this train stop at Times Square. Yeah, Rachel was a little, she asked me, you do your show in Times Square? And I'm like, no, it's not. In Times Square.
You have Good Morning America. You have like a studio where people can watch.
No, like I'm not at those little tables and chairs in the median there. I'm otherwise it would be a little louder, wouldn't it?
By the tickets booth there.
No.
The TKTS booth.
But it's near Times Square where the, yes, the building is.
Roque.
All right. Roque?
Roque.
Huh?
Roque,
anyway.
George.
Yeah. So anyway, but so I have to ask every day, did it stop at Times Square? And then
Can't you just learn what trains go where?
Oh, thank God for the helpful subway announcer. What the hell does anyone, it's like the next stop is where? That's exactly what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And New Yorkers seem to be able to speak announcerese, you know what I'm saying? Although we have that in L.A., don't we, Chris? We have the freeway signs.
Yeah.
Do you remember that when you first moved to L.A.? It's like, oh, toward Humboldt this way. You're like, what? Is that north or south? I don't know where that is. I'm not from here. It doesn't say right, like east, west, north, south. It says,
right,
oh, this is toward, Ventura.
And the San Diego freeway goes nowhere near San Diego.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Enough about me. We'll talk more about me in a moment. First of all, let's talk about America with Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, who joins us. Hello, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you? And welcome to the new East Coaster, I guess.
I'm in your time zone now.
Exactly.
Do you know which train stops at Times Square? Is it the B or the C?
Closer to the ground, but
anyway,
so quickly in the subway, it's like, wait a minute, they all seem to know where they're going.
Everyone seems to know where they're going, Congresswoman, and they all seem to be able to understand the announcer. I'm still.
But just know that some of them are faking it too.
Oh, good. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Now, Congresswoman, you know, there's a lot of talk about how, you know, people, some people on obviously the left and the right, not happy about Afghanistan or the president's strategy. What was your take on the speech?
Well, I think it was a very strong speech. It was clear, of course, from the days before where he was going. I think many of us are concerned the fact that there's so many more troops that are going to be sent over there. I mean, many of us, including members of Congress and many Americans, are weary of the war. And, of course, we're concerned about whether our military is so deeply taxed. We've seen so many repeat deployments. This is really tough on our military and the families. That said, we do know that Afghanistan is where there is a clear concern about the instability in that region, the ability to and capacity to harbor the terrorists who have come after us and could come after us again. So, you know, we are. I like to think of it as a balanced reaction to the president, and we will as members of Congress certainly continue to closely monitor the ability of the Afghan government to really be a partner in this, to really deal with issues of corruption and, you know, to really begin to move towards the ability to function as a government and a civil society for their people.
Right. Well, you know, Congresswoman, and it is interesting, you know, I come back to New York at an interesting time. I was here for 9/11, so it's interesting, right, you know, as this speech and this debate is happening. I'm back here, and, you know, the president made that point that, you know, that is the difference, let's say, between Vietnam or whatever, that they attacked us. And when you look at the Senate report, as I've said, and you look at how disastrously, really, the Bush administration handled Afghanistan and the people that actually did this to us on 9/11, you know, you realize the enormity of the mess President Obama's been left with and you know, what to do now, right?
Right, and it's instability in the region. It's Afghanistan. It's, of course, also Pakistan. And I know these are. This is a very, not very stable region of the world, and we know that we have to be very targeted and very strategic in really supporting the stability there, both militarily, of course, the security. For us, it's all about American security. That's what this is about. And, you know, the president is going to move ahead with this increase in troops, then we're going to hold him to making that work and bringing those troops home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and obviously everything, you know, all costs at this point are a concern. But, I mean, he is going to, obviously Congress is going to give him money, right, and not try to block
this? Yeah,
there
won't be a decision we have to make right away. I think what is also different for his strategy than has been under the Bush administration, he has set benchmarks. He is making it absolutely clear that we are, you know, committed in the region, but we're not there forever. We're certainly not there at this level of troop engagement, that the Afghans are going to have to take over their own security, they have to train their own forces. That's both military and police. And they're going to have to deal with the issues of corruption. And they're going to need cooperation from the Pakistani government. We've seen some better cooperation from the Pakistan government, which is important. But this is a dangerous region of the world, and it requires our attention.
Well, you know, if you listen to the John McCain's of the world, the only way to win, I guess, is to stay forever and not have an exit strategy. And, you know, it's funny, he's on record several times in the past as saying Afghanistan is a success. And so I guess that's all the president needs to do is just say it's a success. Just because he said it is.
Well, tried that, I guess. You know, the mission is accomplished notion. You just stated and it's so. That said, certainly I think that President Obama has laid out in some ways a very targeted mission. This is, you know, not about broadly deep economic growth or, a functioning democracy the way we would see it, but it is about stability, both economic, political, and military, stability in that region.
Let's turn to health care, because, you know, there's certainly Republicans saying, well, we can't have both. You can't have health care and the war. You know, it's like a family going, well, we have heat. We don't need lights. It seems like we are heartbreakingly closer than we've ever been before to health care reform. How are you feeling about it today?
Well, Well, we have to get it done. I felt it was in the house, and I had more, so actively involved in making this happen again, both substantively and, of course, then, getting the vote to the floor and having the vote be successful. Now, of course, it's a bit out of our hands. It's in the Senate, but we are closely working with the Senate to see if we, as they move this bill through, and they have to. I mean, the fact is, you're absolutely right. We're closer than we've ever been. As far as our own economic future, we have got to deal with the issue of the rising cost of health care coverage for all Americans. If we're going to be competitive in a global marketplace, every other industrialized nation has dealt with this. We've got to deal with it. Status quo is unacceptable. So we will. It won't be easy in the Senate, but they're moving through their paces, and certainly the leadership there is committed to getting a bill out of the Senate to conference committee by the end of this year. And then we will work together to make this a strong and solid bill. And there's a lot of commonality between the bill in the House and in the Senate.
Well, the Democratic senators are saying they're willing to be the Grinches who stole Christmas to get health care done.
I think
that's a dandy idea.
Exactly. It's just fine. Now, I think that the senators want to get be with their families for Christmas, as do so many American families. That's a good thing in the sense of having deadlines. Sometimes those deadlines can be helpful. As we've talked
we've
been working on this for a long, long time.
Yes.
It's time to reach some final decisions, come to a vote, keep it moving.
That's right. I say we withhold their who berries and their who beasts unless they get this done by Christmas. Congresswoman, let's talk real quickly about the jobs summit today. I mean, obviously, that's really, especially in this holiday shopping season, that's a big thing, the biggest thing, I'd say, in everybody's mind, isn't it? This economy and jobs.
There's no question. And we hear it every time we go home, whether, for me, where unemployment is about 10% in my district, but for members whose unemployment rate is even higher. We have parts of this country where unemployment rate is almost 20%. That's pretty devastating, both to those individual families and to the communities. So, we're impatient to move this economy forward. We've seen some very positive signs. I think we're going to see some of the recovery dollars have not yet been spent or obligated. We're going to start to see particularly those infrastructure, bridges, highways, being built and those people put to work, which is great, in the next 6 months. And, of course, what we're also trying to do is to build that confidence so we start to have banks lending again, businesses being willing to make those investments. We're impatient. The idea that the president is saying, while we're impatient, let's also look to see what really works, both in the short term and in the long term, to get Americans back to work.
Yep. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz, by the way, before we go, the most important question, do you have a nice place in Pennsylvania with a yard where I could take my dogs
Stephanie.
This weekend to briefly get them away from the dog gangs in Central Park?
You are always welcome to Philadelphia. It's a great place to visit, and I hope you do that. There's no question about that.
It's a
Liberty Bell. It's a hotbed of attending to liberty and freedom and where it all started.
That's right.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump, and we have you on tape issuing the invitation. All right. Thank you, Congresswoman. We always appreciate your time.
Good to talk to you.
All right. There she goes, Congresswoman Allison Schwartz. And, she has a lovely place with a yard somewhere outside of Philly.
There you go.
The GPS. Yeah. All right.
Can you get the dogs on the train going down there, though?
No, I don't think there are dogs allowed on the train.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
We'll tell that story. I'm waiting for my crookie car company. We'll see how it's going to be like a hostage crisis by the time my car gets here. You know when they got to my house and you were there?
Yeah.
They jacked me for several hundred more dollars.
Yeah.
Because they said there's too much stuff in the car.
Yeah, and they were
Even though they signed a thing saying, yes, we know there's going to be a lot of stuff in the car. Here's how much we'll do it for. So now, it literally, I'll tell you the whole story when we get back.
They were lecturing me on not loading up cars that you ship across the country.
It's the skank I work for.
Yeah, it's not me.
Speaking of which, we will be back with the wildly popular surly associate producer Rebecca Baker and her latest bitch of the day. I don't know. She hates me for some reason again today. We'll find out why. She's going to be the one with the spinoff. No offense to you and Jim.
She deserves
it. She is wildly popular. She's the Frasier of this show already.
She's like Carla from Cheers.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oi, oi, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, SpongeBob SquarePants joins us in just a few minutes with his new song. Don't be a jerk, it's Christmas.
That's right.
Tom Kenny, comedian extraordinaire, in just a couple of minutes. And then Democratic strategist and Huffington Post goddess Hillary Rosen coming up as well. All right, but now the breakaway star of the show. No one really wants to hear anything else. It's Rebecca Baker-Taylor.
Yeah. Candlestick maker.
Carrington.
What do you want?
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to apologize for yesterday calling you a dumb skank. I didn't mean except for the part where I called you a dumb skank.
Thank you. Rebecca, I appreciate that. You clearly missed me already. Here's the good news for you. I've gotten somebody else over here on the East Coast to bark orders at. I made the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money get me a bagel this morning.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. He didn't pay $5 for one.
No, this is how we can tell we're on a bit of a budget here at the Stephanie Miller show. Is he asked, he goes, do you want egg and cheese? The implication being we can't afford the egg and the cheese.
And the cheese, just the egg or the cheese.
Something, exactly.
Did we offer everyone has to make choices. Bite, like just a half a little bagel?
Yeah, like a donut hole.
Yeah, a bagel hole.
A bagel hole, yeah. Yeah, everyone has to make choices in this economy, and that was mine this morning. So, all right, you know how the last order I barked at you was to please send me printer ink, because I didn't know where to. Okay, here's the bad news for us. I found out yesterday I cannot get FedEx, because I don't have a, what's the thing called, Chris, that you had, the fancy, the doorman. I don't have that.
You don't have a doorman?
No! And so they won't leave it. I said, well, but what if I sign it? Will you just leave it? Go put it in the mail slot. They're like, no, you have to go to the Bronx to pick it up. I'm like, I saw Bonfire of the Vanities. I'm not going to the Bronx.
She's there, like, take it up to my penthouse.
There are some nice areas of the Bronx.
Yes, but I don't. Anyway, I'm just giving you a heads up, Bex. There's going to be a disaster with the printer right now.
Every day, it's something new with you.
And you know what? You know what FedEx was sending? It's the check for my crooked car company that I need to get my car back. It's a cashier's check.
They sound like total jerks.
The crooked car company?
Yeah.
They are.
Are you going to get your money back?
No. This is what will happen. There'll be some news story when they get here for why it's going to be more money if I want my car back with all my belongings in it.
You're going to end up in the news in one of those oddly enough stories of you going crazy on this car company.
Kind of like the quirky stories we send you.
We're going to get our best out. We're going to get our only press on this whole bi-coastal experiment for me going ape dump on my crooked car company guy. All right. Bex, you know, I'm sorry we were out of time right now.
Yeah, she had to leave because Tom Kenny's calling.
Oh, all right. Yes. Well, she can come back later and be surlier. She was that was kind of mild for her. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with comedian Tom Kenny, SpongeBob SquarePants, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Turns out
Stephanie Miller
is a real badass.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie
New York
Miller
has
show.
Turned you into one.
Yo. 1-800-STEPH. What are you freaking looking at? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yeah, the dogs and I have had to toughen up. We've had a couple of turf scuffles already. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Guess what Mama got everybody for Christmas?
What?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Hooray!
We're joined by comedian extraordinaire Tom Kenny. Good morning, Tom.
Wow, so you got my entrance music. I only go on shows to Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Oh, come, let us absorb him.
That's in your rider, the Choir of Angels.
Absolutely. It's weird being on the phone with you. I'm used to being in the studio with you guys.
Yeah. I know. Well, you can come into the...
What am I wearing?
Jim's not here yet.
Jim's... Oh, man.
I know.
But I'm guessing... Yes, I'm guessing he's naked at home with his lovely wife. Sponge, no, you can come in live to the L.A. Bureau anytime you'd like,
yes,
by the by.
Rebecca told me I'm coming in on the 14th.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
There's some horrible oversight. You have to deal with me twice in 1 month, Steph.
Oh, no oversight
no
in the
No oversight
least.
Whatsoever.
There's a role for that.
Listen, you can crash our little White House party any day.
Oh, great. Well, you know, anything to get a reality show. That's the highest aspiration to which Americans can currently shoot for, you know?
Just after, and right, well, you didn't think.
I'm going to send my kid, I'm going to fake a balloon disaster so I can get a reality show. I'm going to breach national security so I can get a reality show. These people are such losers.
Yes.
I know. Just when you thought nothing would top the balloon boy, you got
yeah,
these
like,
people.
Where is these people's ambition? You know, Goldfinger wanted to rob Fort Knox. You know, these guys wanted.
I love this. It says the headline today, White House party crashers will not, they declined an invitation to testify before Congress about their caper. May I just say, the Secret Service, really not a fan of capers of any kind.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, okay. So they didn't want to crash their own inquest, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're not available for that. They have other stuff going on.
They were on the guest list for that.
Yeah, yes, apparently. So what else is going on? You know, the Tiger Woods thing, obviously, is just, you know, I was saying I'm here in New York, so the thing is the tabloids here, all you need is the cover, and you know what's going on. Yesterday
yes,
it was
exactly.
Tiger's
okay,
birdies.
Page, you're like, busted up car, tree. Okay, I'm doing the math here even without reading the story.
Yeah, all right, but when I saw the headline Tiger's birdies, I'm like, oh, there's more. And
oh, exactly.
I'm like, oh, that's the story. Well, oh, there's a lot of them. Okay.
You know, I'm not a real experienced player with the ladies. You
yes.
know, you know, I come
that
from a place
me.
Where you marry your prom date and that's it for life. But I got to say, if you're going to be calling your mistress, don't go, hey, it's Tiger. Could you take your number off my phone?
Exactly.
I was saying only really a close second to Elliot Spitzer going, should I just sign the giant check, Governor of New York? You know,
exactly.
Do you think any...
Yeah. I know. I'm like, you know, that is where being like a D-list celebrity is such a relief. You know, it's like, okay, I'm a cartoon voice. Even if I wasn't boring and no one would care about my capers.
I have a feeling Elliot Spitzer even signed the, you know, the filled in what it's for, just hookers, you know, down below. He just
yes, exactly.
Governor.
The memo, hookers.
This is for regarding hookers.
Him and Marv Albert are comparing notes. You like the backbiting? Yeah, I really like the backbiting. Okay.
You know, he actually is obviously a very, very smart man and has a really good take on a lot of topics of the day. But I can't help every time I see him on MSNBC. It's a loop. Hooker.
Right. I thought you were talking about Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll be thinking that now.
Like, Tiger Woods just seems to be almost like a golf bot. You know what I mean? Like, he's been raised from the cradle to do that one thing. He's like Doc Savage or something. He's been raised from the cradle to do that one thing. And I don't know that there's any there besides that. You know,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I have a feeling that golf announcers are the ones that are going to have the tougher time. Oh, that was a bad hooker. Hook.
Yeah, and they
he hooked that one.
They can't even get brassy like weekend. They have to tuck everything under.
Exactly. So I understand that you brought a little gift for us.
Yes, I actually do. This is very unusual, but and kind of germane to what we're talking about. SpongeBob has a new Christmas single out called "Don't Be a Jerk." It's Christmas because we looked around and we just said, "Wow!" You know, from politics and liar Joe Wilson and you know, sports figures and entertainment figures, like everyone is such a jerkiness is at such an all time
yes.
high. It's like a big jerktonium. Meteor crashed into the earth and infected everyone.
We've become a nation of asshats.
So a Christmas song for SpongeBob that's out on iTunes and also a bonus track on the SpongeBob's Greatest Hits CD,
cool.
Along with Best Day Ever and My Tidy Whities and all those other SpongeBob songs we write. But this is the premiere of Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas. I'm sitting here at a piano, and I've got jingle bells in one hand and a piano in the other. Let's see, I've never done this before. Bring joy to the world, it's the thing to do, but the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. There's a sign above the line that says express. That means 10 items or less. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. I'll go to the bridge. Be nice to babies and animals, old folks too, 'cause that's how you'd like them to treat you.
use turn signals. Don't screen my calls. Don't wreck the house when you deck the halls. Put your gum where it won't wind up on my shoe. Squeeze toothpaste from the bottom of the tube. Don't be a jerk. Yeah! It's Christmas.
Hey, eat my shorts, Ryan Seacrest. This is where all the big songs are premiering these days.
That's a great song.
That's terrific.
You know, we're like, you know, it's like, just for one day, can we can the jerkiness for one day, and then we'll deal with the other 364.
Yes.
Baby steps, people.
Yes. Try to dial back your ass hattery just for the
for
the holidays.
And, you know, the inside story of this song is that when we originally started to write it, it was not a SpongeBob song. It was Don't Be a Blank. It started with a D and ended with a K. It's Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And then we said, wow.
That has more of a ring to it.
Yeah, we go, yeah, probably SpongeBob wouldn't know that word. So we'll change it to jerk.
Yes, they don't. We'll that word doesn't exist in Bikini Bottom.
No,
we'll say,
no,
we'll
no,
say
the,
we
the
meant, you could say.
Barnacles does down there.
Yes.
That's
you could say you meant Cheney.
Oh, Barnacles. That's as close to cussing as you get down under.
Yes.
Don't be a dick, Cheney. It's Christmas. Leave the president alone for 1 week.
It's Christmas.
Yes.
Don't be a ditherer.
It's Christmas. All right, Tom Kenny, you're important, and you got to go and do some other interviews, but we will see you live in the L.A. studio soon.
Yes, yes. I'm going to be talking to Larry King. I just hope he doesn't get inappropriate with me.
That's inappropriate, Larry, okay?
Totally I dare you to storm off.
Then I'm going to storm off. I'm just going to... No, I, no, you don't storm off. You just take the mic off and then sit there with your veneers shining in the dark.
Right. pretending not to hear Larry King.
Our favorite moment of the year. Oh, I can't hear you, Larry.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yay,
bye, Tom. There
thanks.
He goes. Tom Kenny.
On the 14th.
SpongeBob SquarePants. There he goes.
Yes, and he's going to be live in studio with us on the 14th. So
yeah, you know what? I can feel Ryan Seacrest sweating from New York. Julie Brown debuted her song here about
Sarah
Palin. Remember?
That's right.
The redo of the Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun. The girl VP's got a gun. Do we have that? That was also debuted here on the Stephanie Miller Show, along with the SpongeBob SquarePants song. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
Look out! The girl VP's got a gun. Everybody run! The ex-beauty queen has got a gun! Is this really happening? I don't believe it!
All right. She's probably going to shoot Rudolph this year for Christmas.
Yes, and Tom Kenny, he premiered SpongeBob's other song on this very program.
I could not be more impressed with myself. 42 minutes after the hour, strategist Hillary Rosen coming up in just a few minutes. We will dive into the healthcare and the war debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Delicious, so delicious. My body stays vicious. Got me up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious. They want to play the workout.
Steffi.
Hold up. Check it out.
Check it out, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We have gone by, in case you've just tuned in. Coastal, by Coastal. 47 minutes after the... Oh, did you see Meredith Baxter-Burney on the Today Show yesterday?
Yeah.
She came out as a lesbian, but I felt she was very... I felt bad for her. She seemed so nervous, but then she got through it. Good for her. She was... It's like, what, you're not allowed to have a private life if you're played a TV mom? It's like, well, but you played a mother on TV. Well, Mr. Brady played a dad, so...
Yeah.
So what? But anyway, good for her. We give her a... God bless her. Bridget loves Bridget, and that's fine. She seemed very... She said she's a very private person, but so she seemed very nervous, but it was cute. All right. it just was. All right, so we are, I am in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International and Sons, and you, of course, you and the Mooks, the other Mooks in L.A. I think Rebecca's a Mook now since she's been on air so much.
Yeah.
That's what the consensus was yesterday on the StephanieMiller.com.
Maybe Mookette.
Yes, she could be Mook Tones, and she's a Mookette.
Okay.
So here's the creepy thing about doing the show from the New York Bureau, Chris, is the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, he sits right across from me in the studio and just stares at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you know, he has called us all warmongers.
Yes.
He apparently does not agree with us on the Afghanistan war, and yet I asked him if he would like an opportunity to speak about it. He said no, he's just going to sit there staring at me.
He's a scaredy cat.
Yeah. Well, you had a good idea. We should send him to Afghanistan as our special war correspondent.
I think we should. On his dime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said you'd like to come to New York at Christmas, and you asked if he would pay for that, and I said, well, he won't pay for egg and cheese on my bagel, so I don't think so. But I can ask him.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the Dial Global Christmas party.
That's right. I will be seeing Ed and Wendy Schultz tomorrow night at the Dial Global Christmas party. That's our syndicator.
Mm-hmm.
They syndicate fine radio programs such as that and Tom Hardman and Bill Press and others.
That's right.
So we'll be at the big party here in New York tomorrow night. Oh, by the way, and Wendy emailed the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money and said Ed announced on his radio show everyone will be seeing a lot more of Stephanie on his show. And
awesome.
Said how great I was the other night at midnight.
Your grand scheme has worked.
Apparently it has. She said I look great even though it was midnight. And let me just tell you the secret, Chris.
What?
Hair and makeup people here are a lot better.
Oh,
I
really?
Don't, no offense. I told you, in L.A.'s kind of a little satellite bureau for them. You do your little things like in the office. I don't know if you ever noticed that. You can see people walking around behind you shouting stuff.
And yeah.
You're just sort of in the office, and I told you they have the, you know, the thousand-year-old Austrian hair and makeup guy?
Yeah.
The guy that has the Coke bottle glasses. It makes you a little...
He looks like Swifty Lazar.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Wouldn't that concern you if that person was doing your hair and makeup?
Yes.
He can't. He's always squinting, and he can't quite. And I've had, like, giant smudges before, and I'm like, excuse me, is that supposed to be there? Yeah.
Oh,
so,
no. Bless your heart.
Yeah, he's, God bless the fancy Rockefeller Center hair and makeup people. Oh, they do the Lord's work, let me tell you what. All right. They do the, they put the Vaseline on the lens for me, and they throw a, like a little scarf over the lamps. And,
oh, good.
Everything's good.
Mm-hmm. Do they give you that ass cam again? Because I remember that one time you were on Ed's
show. Oh,
and
yes, they have an ass cam, and because I'm there live with Ed, so
right.
They have the long shot when you're standing at the desk with him.
Yes.
However, no, last night he was in a different studio because it was a special, post-presidential speech thing. So, no, I was...
You were in a box.
I was sitting, yes, and I was in a little box.
Okay. So, no ass cam.
But hopefully there'll be an ass cam next time.
Yes, people want to know. We want to be able to tease it, that they watch Ed tonight because Steph is going to be on the ass cam.
Yes. I'm on the ass cam every morning for Jim. You can confirm that, right, Chris? When Jim gets here at the top of the hour, I always put my ass up to the Skype camera.
It's part of his new contract. You must do that.
Well, yes, because he was able to grab it live in Los Angeles. So now I at least, I got to give him a little taste.
Yeah.
A little something. Keep coming back. All right. And then he gets to his very cogent war analysis after I give him a little sugar.
Absolutely.
You know how boys, I know what boys like. Mm-hmm. I know what boys want.
Yeah, 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 right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. A deeply skeptical Congress on Wednesday resigned itself to President Obama's escalation of the Afghanistan war. Leading Democrats said they had some serious misgivings about the deployment of 30,000 more troops, but would not try to block it. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, yesterday.
Part of that is to build in an incentivizing for the Afghans to do what they need to do. We can't. And we won't be there forever. The role of providing security for the Afghans will have to rest primarily with Afghan National Security Forces. That's what this new dedication of resources will do, is accelerate that training.
As I mentioned to Congresswoman Schwartz, unless you're John McCain, then the only way to win, apparently, is to not have an exit date ever. As I said alternatively, just say that you've won. That's
right.
What John McCain... Oh, here, you'll have to do a guess the quote. This
okay.
Could be back on... Back in March, on CNN who said, could I add, it was in Afghanistan as well. There were many people who predicted that Afghanistan would not be a success. So far, it's a remarkable success. Who said that?
Mary Todd Lincoln.
No, that's spectacularly bad. John McCain said that back in... That's weird how I guess it was a spectacular success under George Bush, and now it's, I guess, just not.
It's a dismal failure, yeah.
Yes. Who said on the Charlie Rose show, that would be back in 2005, Afghanistan, we don't need, we don't read about it anymore because it's succeeded.
Pat Nixon.
No, I guess again, that was John McCain back in 2005.
Oh, okay.
Here's a little curveball for you. This was back in 2003. Who said nobody in Afghanistan threatens the United States of America? Who said that?
Martha Washington.
No, that was John McCain on the Hannity and Combs. Oh, that's when there was still a Combs. That's how long ago that was.
Wow. It's like he doesn't exist anymore.
He's been disappeared into the cornfield. All right. So on CBS immediately after the speech the other night, McCain... of course, praised the decision to add more troops, but said setting a timetable was wrong because success is what dictates dates for withdrawal. If we don't have that success, and we only set an arbitrary date, it emboldens our enemies and dispirits our friends. So apparently all the president has to do to achieve victory, based on his example, is just arbitrarily just say it.
Ah, okay.
Just say this is a, yes, this is a John McCain yesterday.
It's got to be the appropriate conditions. Or it's got to be an arbitrary date. You can't have both.
Yeah. So that's the only way to win, as you say. As one of our right-wing callers said the other day, Chris, unless, like, Vietnam, the only way is if we were still there.
Right.
That's the only way that would be a success.
Yeah, if we were there
if we had stayed
in perpetuity.
Longer. Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
I love that word.
Ad infinitum.
Ad nauseum.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. E pluribus unum.
FDIC. Okay, Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
Air forces in July of 2011 will transition out of Afghanistan. Again, understand what he said. This is a conditions-based drawdown.
Yeah. So, you know, that's I think kind of that goes without saying that, you know, if Afghanistan is a disaster of epic proportions with dogs and cats living together...
Mm-hmm.
You know, the conditions on the ground are going to dictate things, but I all I'm saying is to give the president a chance with this strategy. You know, he like I say, inherited a, you know, another huge mess, and I'm willing to give it a chance. I just think that you can't. What's the thing again? We have to be as the same as Iraq, as careful getting out as we were careless getting in.
Oh my gosh!
I did it again. That's
like
the second time in a row I've gotten that
week.
Right. I did it without Jim. So there.
Oh, I'm impressed.
All right. Robert Gibbs, once again yesterday.
I will let Secretary Rumsfeld explain to you and to others whether he thinks that the effort in Afghanistan was sufficiently resourced during his tenure as Secretary of Defense.
What? Jeez and crackers. What's he saying? What's he trying to say? Don't you love how they put it in polite speak from the White House?
Yeah.
Was he the most disastrous bonehead we've ever had as a Secretary of Defense?
That's what Robert Gibbs was saying.
Yes.
Yes,
yes he was. I'll leave it to you to decide exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, the current Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, yesterday.
We will have a thorough review in December 2010. If it appears that the strategy's not working and that we are not going to be able to transition in 2011, then we will take a hard look at the strategy itself.
Well, you know, I think that part makes sense as well. I mean, that was the thing about George Bush that everybody said. He was so stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what was the famous Stephen Colbert joke? You know, he believes the same thing on Wednesday he believed on Monday, regardless of what happened on Tuesday. You know, I'm glad that he spent this long thinking it through, and I think that he'll continue to do that. And I say, you know, we're not even quite a year yet into this Obama presidency, and we've got to, I think, give it a chance. All right. Or as the guy that owns the show says, give a piece a chance or
whatever.
Whatever he says.
Some
I need another bagel.
Yeah.
I need another bagel. 57
with
minutes.
Egg and cheese.
Egg and cheese. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with the Huffington Post goddess, Hillary Rosen, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Dow is down 7 points. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice Deedy, Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Baker, or me, Stephanie Miller. Let's see who did here. Jenny did. Oh, I read the letter yesterday because I'm supporting the president on Afghanistan. I got called a stupid USC idiot Republican that's ruining everything.
Well.
Jenny writes, hey, Steph, as for the woman who said you ruined everything, although I don't think progressives should be supporting putting 30,000 troops in harm's way, I don't believe you ruined everything. That's rather extreme. You just ruined Christmas. Love, Jenny. I ruined Christmas?
Speaking of Christmas,
can
I put a tree up in your house?
Listen, squatter, your days are numbered. I've got some showings for rental, and you could be out soon.
I know.
Don't be getting used to the... He yesterday goes, oh, I love having a grill. But don't get used to it, squatter. Back to your thatch pot.
And a dishwasher.
Yes.
And a washing machine.
Well, this morning before I left, I had to stage the house for the showings.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I made him become Christopher Lowell.
Yes, I had to turn on the waterfall. I had to turn on the Sinatra channel on Sirius.
God.
I had to turn on some lights.
Yeah, you probably like spray painted graffiti all over the house so no one will rent it. Oh, nobody wants it. Oh, my gosh, guess I have to stay here.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, well.
Although
darn the luck.
Your gardener startled me yesterday.
Why is that?
Because I was sitting in the kitchen, you know, where you have all those
balloons.
Windows, and all of a sudden he like walked by the window. I'm like, oh, jeez.
You had a Jesus sighting.
I did.
That's more rare than Bigfoot.
And that sent the cat under the couch again, you know.
Someone said mattress to Mr. Lambert.
All right, we are awaiting Huffington Post goddess Hillary Rosen, Democratic strategist extraordinaire. And Jim Ward will just be serenading us, apparently.
Yeah, what was that, Jim?
I said Marty Python bit. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't understand.
All right.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't get it. All right. Jim, in case the whole Emmy Award-winning voice guy thing doesn't work out, I have a job for you, as I mentioned last hour, a Subway announcer.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, because you can't understand those guys. I don't speak Subwayese, and I'm... I'm sorry, which stop?
That's right with it to Times Square.
That's the only thing you can understand is Times Square. Yeah, I seriously don't understand. Everyone on the train seems to understand them except for me, and I'm...
Or they just take the train
every
day. They know the city.
They take the train every day, and they know the city.
And
they know what stop.
Yeah,
well, someone gave me a bum rap this morning.
Or they look at the map.
They told me the B train doesn't stop at Times Square, and it does stop at Times Square, you bastard.
See, what you do, you look at the sign in the subway station.
There's a map.
And you find it on the map, and you realize what the next station is going to be because it's on the map, if you know which line you're on. That's important.
You know what?
My thing. I wasn't sure which line stops at Times Square, and so I had to ask.
I have a suggestion for you. Mm-hmm. You have a nice BlackBerry, right?
Yes.
Why don't you download the app for the New York subway system?
She doesn't know how to do that.
I haven't even been able to figure out how to send you pictures from my trip yet with the dogs.
It would really help because then you could use it underground, too.
Oh, dear God, that is way beyond my capabilities, as you know. All right.
Yeah, why do you even have that fancy BlackBerry?
Jim, I was saying we have an equivalent in L.A., though, right? This is equally frustrating if you're new to a city. The signs don't say which way the freeway is going,
right.
Like sometimes north or south or east or west. It just says, it's toward
Barstow.
Oxnard.
Barstow.
That's the one.
Barstow.
I remember when I moved to L.A., I'm like, what? Which way is Barstow? How am I supposed
north.
To know?
Well, it doesn't necessarily tell you it's north. It just says Barstow.
That's what I'm saying. Those signs, they kind of imply your idiocy.
Well,
Barstow, stupid.
The
you know which way that is.
Heads towards San Diego. It just doesn't actually go to San Diego.
But then
San
it ends
right.
Before you get out of Orange County.
Right.
Right.
Maybe they
But when you have a split-second decision to make, I'm like, I need this freeway east or west. It doesn't say east or west.
Yeah,
it just says, hey, idiot, it's toward Indio. You're like, what? Where is, huh? Okay.
Am I going to Baker or...
I'm just saying it's the L.A. equivalent
Chula
of the...
Vista.
Of the helpful subway conductor who tells you that you are at the...
And it's going to modulate the transmission of the lake to talk about the lab and fix it.
What?
It's Charlie Brown's teacher. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Don't they have LED screens on the subways that tell you what the next stop is?
No, but they do have muted trombones.
You're it. I remember last time I moved here, I did that. I actually ended up entirely in the wrong borough. I was like, Brooklyn? Geez. I don't know. Oh, I definitely got on going the wrong direction. Okay.
Albany? How do I get to Albany?
Can you get to Albany on the New York subway?
For some reason, here's the only one I remember. Last time, remember, I lived up in Westchester. So that
la-ti-da.
Line... Well, no, it's just, but that line's the only one, for some reason, you can understand the subway guy. That one I always remember. Yonkers! Yes, Yonkers! They had the really good voice guys, Jim, on that line.
Mm-hmm.
You just like they. I just love the way they said it.
The guys in Manhattan have lost the will to live.
That means I live in a fifth-floor walk-up tenement, and
I live in a broom closet
on the Lower East Side.
They actually sound like you're.
I share a bathroom with 90 people,
where the immigrants still hang their laundry from the fire escapes.
Right. All right, Jim Ward. We've been talking about the war. Oh, I forgot to show you my ass on the Skype camera, so just to motivate you to share your thoughts on Afghanistan. But you know, he's getting some flack from the left and the right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I understand the points on either side. I just and I was frankly surprised that you were, you know, you felt the same way I did about the speech, pretty much.
Yeah, I thought it was a well-crafted speech, and it you know, he's a serious guy for serious times. I just don't know enough about it to know that whether this is the right decision or not.
Well,
that's exactly what I said. Who in their right mind can go, yes, this is going to work.
Yes,
this is the right strategy.
Right.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
we don't know.
Well, I mean, we don't know everything that's going on there.
Right. And the average layperson doesn't see all of the intelligence that comes in. President Obama does. So I'm sure he's making the best decisions based on the intelligence that he gets.
I'm pretty sure that the focus of the thing is securing the Pakistani news.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
That's the most important.
I love that people actually on the right actually think that's an argument. Oh, well, you didn't give George Bush the benefit of that. No, that's right.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Because we didn't trust him.
Because he's
based on lack of intellect
and
making any previous correct decisions in the past, based on all of that, yes, I did not give him the benefit of the doubt. Having lied us into one war, right there. We're,
I don't agree with Obama on everything, but he's a very smart, thoughtful guy.
Yeah.
And besides, you just quoted American president, and so therefore I know it's right. These are serious times, and we need serious people.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Sue in Rockville would like to take issue with you bad-mouthing the Bronx.
I did not imply that there's anything wrong with the Bronx, Sue. I simply implied if one has paid FedEx to deliver a package to where one lives, one shouldn't have to go to the friggin' Bronx to pick up their package, particularly if one has seen Bonfire of the Vanities.
And that's, born and raised in the Bronx, it isn't so bad. What you need is you need a Bronx mook. You need Vinny. Because Vinny comes from the Bronx. He will take care of everything you need. You need FedEx, he'll get you FedEx.
Get your friggin' FedEx. Yeah, that's all I'm saying is I don't understand the whole they won't deliver it unless you're there. And see, it gets there now when I'm on the air. That's when FedEx comes.
Between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., the Bronx is perfectly fine. After that, you're on your own.
All right. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate that. Thanks for your good wishes and all that.
Oh, boy.
Appreciate it. All right. Robert Gates, defense secretary yesterday on the Afghanistan strike.
The other audience, frankly, is the American people who are weary of 8 years after 8 years of war, and to let them know this isn't going to go on for another 10 years.
Yeah, there's that. You know, Jim, we were saying that at least we have a president that not only appears to have really thought this through, but that, you know, will react to conditions on the ground. I mean, that's what we were saying. George Bush just didn't let anything get in the way of his ideology. No facts, no actual, you know, conditions on the ground. Admiral Mike Mullen, Joint Chiefs Chairman.
We think with the additional forces, we will have very strong indicators about how this is going and our ability to transfer and transition at that point.
Do I know how soon we will be able to get Afghani forces trained or what they'll be able to do? No.
No,
I do not. But, you know, it seems like we owe it to them to try. Admiral Mike Mullen, Joint Chiefs again.
The president also said is it would be responsible and it would be based on conditions. That is the goal right now.
You know what we need to do, Jim? We have to be as careful getting out as we were careless getting in.
Hey, you got it right.
Now I'm just showing. Now I'm just showing.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah.
Senate
it
noted
took you
Patty,
3 years, but you know that's
noted. Patty Waste, Lindsey Graham, and Hillary Clinton.
Have Secretary we locked Clinton. Ourselves into leaving Secretary Clinton in July 2011?
I do not believe we have locked ourselves into leaving. But what we have done is to signal very clearly to all audiences that the United States is not interested in occupying Afghanistan.
That's the thing. I don't understand that barometer. Do you, Jim? That it, according to, well, Lindsey Graham just says whatever John McCain says, first of all. But secondly, that's the only barometer of winning is that we can't ever leave or say we're leaving or there can't be an exit strategy of any kind.
Saying we're getting out at a specific date and time, you know, obviously that's going to change as circumstances warrant.
Right.
You know,
at least there's a plan. Right. It's like this is the plan we have right now. We're trying to do this and this, and this is an exit strategy.
But he's trying to nail them down to say, oh, so you're telling the enemy we're getting out at this time. Well, why don't they just wait till we go? And, you know, but it's obviously there's going to be some fudging of that. And it's in the interest of people like Lindsey Graham, unfortunately, to make sure that things are as crappy as possible so that we have to stay.
See, I don't even understand the enemy will wait. What does that mean, Jim? Is that the military equivalent of they'll just be running in place until then? They'll pretend they'll shoot guns, but they won't load them. They're just going to wait. What are they going to do exactly? Like, oh, well, now they're just going to wait. They're going to play Scrabble now until
the whole thing's a mess.
Yeah.
Gives me a headache.
Me too. All right. Speaking of more headaches, how about healthcare? 20 minutes after the hour, tell you where we're at with that and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
Word, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. If she weren't a Huffington Post goddess and a Democratic strategist extraordinaire, and she were this late, I'd normally be mad. Hillary Rosen!
No, you're the goddess, and I beg your forgiveness. Sorry about that.
All right. Oh, done. It's done. Hillary, where do you live? In New York or Washington?
Washington, D.C.
All right. You have to come.
Fixture of the inside game. It's embarrassing.
That's
but
right.
True.
Listen, I just moved to New York, so now you must come up and buy me Jell-O shots.
Fantastic.
For being late. Okay. All right. Hillary Rosen, tell me what is the reaction, would you say, in the blogosphere, but you know, particularly Huffington Post type folks about Afghanistan?
I think that there is a lot of anxiety over one thing. I think that I actually believe that this president really looked at this and ought to get some benefit of the doubt here, particularly because he was focused on the thing we all care about, which is the exit strategy.
Yep.
But I don't think they did a fantastic job of articulating the exit strategy and announcing this plan. And I think that that's something that, you know, we're going to see Secretary Gates on the Hill today talking about. I think they're going to have to do, you know, a more complete job over the next couple of weeks. Identifying specifically what they're looking for, you know, and the reason that they didn't, of course, is it's politics that, you know, the John McCain's of the world, whose support everybody very much wants, is saying you better not say that we're going to get out of there, otherwise your mission in there is going to be less than powerful. And that's always what the war hawks say when they want you to stay at war.
Yep.
That more
military might is the answer in any situation. That seems to be their take.
More might is the answer, but never give the enemy any hints about your strategy. But in this case, we're not talking about strategy. We're talking about what are the goals for American involvement on a continued basis. And
yes,
that's, I think, the piece that the administration is going to be working very hard over the next couple of weeks,
right,
convincing people of.
That's what we were just talking about, that presumably the Taliban will just skip rope until our exit date is. They will just...
Exactly.
They'll do something. I don't know. Now, health care, you know, obviously is happening simultaneously. A lot of focus on Afghanistan this week. But what's your take on where we're at with health care? The senators are saying they'll work through Christmas. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it is so important that they not drop this ball, and I so encourage your listeners and activists to stay on this, because it's real, you know, it's one, that's the reason they focused like a laser beam on this for as many months as they did. It is so easy in Washington to get distracted by other issues and other priorities. And, you know, if Harry Reid has to threaten these guys with their, you know, their New Year's eggnog by and say that you're just going to keep working, we're not going to go out of session, and you're going to have to stay here, because there won't be any progress unless there's that real threat.
Yep, absolutely. The job summit today, do you feel like, you know, there's going to be something real accomplished, and it's going to give people some hope, because it is bad out there, particularly going into the holidays, huh?
You know, I think we had 8 years of a president who didn't pay attention to the deteriorating economy, who, when the situation got worse, he acted as though it was just sort of fluctuating markets. So I think what President Obama's trying to do is just stay in touch. And I think one of the ways they do that is by inviting people from sort of all walks of life from all over the country to the White House to talk about the issue. There's a lot of value in that. Will it create more jobs tomorrow? No, but does it, you know, create some opportunity to share best practices or look at other programs or see what's working? I think they're genuinely sincere about that. I know they're going to stay on that.
Yep, absolutely. Hillary Rosen, I know that you will be taking the train up to New York to buy me Jell-O shots to apologize once again for
Stop
being late
it,
this
Stephanie.
Morning. So, what? She likes Jell-O
shots. True. Actually, I'm a tequila shots kind of girl.
Yeah.
Whatever. Either one. Those are on me. Hillary Rosen, Democratic strategist extraordinaire. Thank you, Hillary. All right, there she goes, Hillary Rosen. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's the least sexual being on Earth.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, at least we agree on something.
Ho! 33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 11 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Hillary Rosen, what did she say, Chris, as to why she was late?
She said the Attorney General called her right as she was supposed to go on the air with you.
Well, likely story.
If I've heard that excuse once, I've heard it a million times. Good one, Hillary.
Uh-huh. All right. I suppose we'll excuse that.
Oh, whatever. Love her. Bill in Chicago on the Afghanistan war. Hey, Bill. Welcome.
Hey. I like the notion that Jonathan Alter put out last night that actually this end game is to tell Karzai, you don't have all the time in the world to get your house in order. We're going to be gone soon, so if you want to have a job in 18 months, you'd better get your stuff together because you're going to be SOL.
Yeah, it's a timeline for Karzai. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, we're gonna give you what you need to help you get your house in order. But this is not an open check for you, so I think it's funny the notion of telling the enemy that we're leaving. No, we're telling our friends we're leaving.
Yeah, all exactly. Right. All right, thank you, Bill. Chris, could you take out your organ for me, please?
Which one? I have four.
I had to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Church, please, I would like us all to pray. You know, Jim, when you said the other day, you're like, did you see Keith's special comment? And then he just said, oh, did you see what Jonathan Alter said last night? As you know, I didn't because I don't have television yet. Please, everyone, pray with Mama. The cable guy is supposed to be there today between 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey? What? Okay.
Please pray with Mama. The cable guy actually shows up. What do you think the chances are the cable guy will actually...
In Manhattan? And a company that kind of rhymes with slime porner.
Mm-hmm.
Slim to none.
Yeah. This is very disconcerting. I have to actually, it's being in this blackout, I actually have to see what I think. I can't.
You can't steal other people's opinions.
This involves a lot more thinking than I'm used to.
You could probably find it on the computer machine somewhere.
Yeah.
I guess I did. I'm just saying, it's a little disconcerting.
You can get over the air broadcasts, too.
Oh.
You remember?
Yeah, well, I watched the president's speech that way. But,
okay.
Anyway, yeah. It's
what? So no, you did not.
With my oil lamp and my quill pen. I'm not, no television is very.
You called me during the speech. Has he started yet? Has he started?
I couldn't operate it. It wasn't working.
It was like 20 minutes into his speech.
I know. I'm like, why is he so late? It's because I couldn't.
I'm like, I can't talk. I'm listening to the president. Getting sound bites.
Must have been buffering something. Mary in San Francisco on the war as well. Hi, Mayor.
Well, first of all, I just have to say to Jim, now I have to get into the fish tank and sing.
Yes.
And I was just thinking that, you know, in any job I've ever had, I've always been given a timeline. I've been told, you know, you must perform these tasks by this time. And anytime they say, just take as long as you want, the job just never seems to get done. And it seems like for the last 8 years, it's all been in a holding pattern because since you don't have a timeline, you have no idea of how much progress you must have done by a certain period.
Right.
So there's no sense of
progress. Oh, please.
It's
if
all
this radio.
Kind of open ended.
Benchmark.
If this radio show didn't start at a certain time, I'd never get anything done.
Exactly. I mean, the idea of timelines being bad, it's like I'm wondering how come we didn't have timelines all along. It's always been strange to me that we don't.
Yep, absolutely. All right, thank you, Mayor. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
I know the job summit is today, and you would think now that the president has announced his Afghanistan strategy, you would think that health care is next, right? And then jobs.
Oh, no.
Yes, no.
Says
no. According to the Family Research Council, Obama's next plan is to impose homosexuality.
What?
How do you do that?
Well, funny you should ask, Jim. Earlier this month, the far-right Family Research Council sent a fundraising alert, action alert, fear-mongering about the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Which has been introduced in both the House and Senate, and President Obama says he's pushing hard to pass.
So he's forcing people to live and work with gay people and breathe the same air?
Forcing homosexuality down your throat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they put it that way.
The FRC alert says this law would punish anyone in the workplace who dares oppose homosexual behavior, cross-dressing, and any other unhealthy behaviors.
Huh? Unhealthy?
The conservative organization went even further in its rhetoric, claiming President Obama wants to impose homosexuality and silence Christianity in the workplace. In the body of the letter signed by Tony Perkins, Jim.
No, mother blood, no! No, I'm any but a very naughty boy. Letting homosexuals into the shower.
No, it's not that.
No?
It's the guy, the president of the Family Research.
He's actually scarier than the other Tony Perkins.
Mm-hmm. It was signed by him and Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia. It's quoted as saying that the legislation would mean, quote, the federal government would be dictating to religious institutions and organizations whom they must hire. The letter also claims the law would lead to an employer telling you to remove the Bible from your desk because it is offensive to the homosexual or cross-dresser he was forced to hire.
There are plenty of gay people who are Christian.
What?
The legislation would
How
not
is that allowed?
Oh, my God.
The legislation, of course, would not force anyone to be hired. It would only mean that it would be illegal to fire, refuse to hire, or fail to promote employees simply based on sexual orientation.
Bibles burst into flame when a homosexual touches it. I think that, isn't that what happens?
Yes. Additionally, the Human Rights Campaign points out, the current legislation exempts small businesses, religious organizations, and the military.
Oh, other than that, yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's good for fundraising.
Yeah, that's only what that's for.
Scare the money right out of their wallets.
Yep.
President's trying to force you to take the Bible off your desk so the cross-dresser you hired will be happy. Okay. Wow, wow, wow. Speaking in a related story, Chris, you might as well take your organ back out. Rick Warren, you know Pastor Rick. Good old Pastor Rick is
back.
He's
the guy who gave the convocation or the invocation at the inauguration?
Some vocation.
The inauguration vocation.
Yes.
The invective. Yeah. I mean the...
yeah.
No, that's closer.
That's closer to, to reality.
Exactly. Yeah, he's wondering why there's such a fuss over the rights of the gays and all. In recent days, he's come under fire for refusing to condemn an anti-homosexuality bill in Uganda that would make some homosexual acts punishable by death. But it's only like it's just some acts.
Just the real icky ones.
Yeah, exactly. Only the really gay ones. He said, it's not my personal calling as a pastor in America to comment or interfere in the political process of other nations. On his Twitter feed, he's now trying to change the subject, claiming that no one cared when 146,000 Christians died last year. What does he mean, no one cared?
What is he talking about?
I don't know. The Ugandan legislation, supported by a pastor whom Warren has welcomed into his church, would mandate that any person, quote, convicted of gay sex is liable to life imprisonment. It also proposes up to 3 years of imprisonment for anyone who fails to report within 24 hours the identities of everyone they know who is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or who supports human rights for people who are.
Oh!
So even if you don't have the gay on you, if you support human rights for the people who do...
And if you're gay adjacent, you're really screwed.
Yeah.
Woo,
what does that mean for Hal Sparks?
Yes, and then there is also the minor thing of there's the death penalty in there. If a person is HIV positive or has sex with a minor or a person with a disability, that would be aggravated homosexuality.
Wow.
And instead of the merely miffed kind of homosexuality, that would be aggravated homosexuality, and they would face the death penalty. And Rick Warren's apparently fine with that, doesn't understand what the hubbub is all about.
Homosexuality with intention to dance or something.
Is there a death penalty for being HIV positive and having sex with someone of the opposite sex? Or is it just the same sex?
No problem.
That's ickier. Oh, gotcha.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Because that's not the gay kind of AIDS.
Oh, okay.
It's much better.
Yes, it's for the aggravated homosexuality. I don't know what would happen, what the penalty is for really livid homosexuality or really...
It's for when Christopher Lowell gets in a snit.
Irritated homosexuality must be. I don't even know what this is.
And I hate your ass face.
Yes, if you hate
someone's
ass
aggravated
face.
Homosexuality.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
That's aggravated homosexuality.
You're fine if you only have the mildly annoyed kind of homosexuality, but if it's aggravated, then...
I'm feeling a little peeved.
Oh, you're all right. Okay, no death penalty for you.
Yeah, and you get the death penalty, you bastard person. All right. Wow. Wowee.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
All right, 42 minutes or so after...
That's sort of between peeved and miffed.
Yeah.
After the president accomplishes knocking the Bible off your desk so it doesn't offend the cross-dresser he forced you to hire, he's getting the health care. We'll tell you about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 48 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 18 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. James in Arlington on Afghanistan. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Regarding the whole thing regarding the troops in Afghanistan, what you're seeing is a final push against the Taliban. If you've been paying attention, they've been increasing drone sorties in northern Pakistan. 30,000 troops is just enough to push whatever Taliban that keeps, you know, they hit in Pakistan, they run across the border in Afghanistan, pushes them out across the border, holds the line, while the continued drone sorties and the Pakistan military is basically just going to put the final end, final solution to the problem with the Taliban. That's what you're seeing. Also, on a side note, I just wanted to say, as a former Catholic, I loved you in the shower scene in Kentucky Fried Movie. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Loved me some Kentucky Fried Movie.
Her boobs have never been that big.
I didn't care for that movie.
Oh, you.
There are parts of it I didn't like.
I thought Amazon Women on the Moon was much better.
I was making jokes a while back to somebody that apparently was too young to remember airplane references, and
yeah.
I can't hang out with someone like that. my whole life is it's references to the airplane.
I don't get it.
And I'm serious.
Is that supposed to be funny?
I mean, surely she's not serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Thank you. Thank you very much. See, you have to be able to play the airplane game.
Full of sick people. That's not important right now.
Yeah. Or I'm pulling the what do you call it, the stairs up in my fort. You can't come in if you can't play airplane.
Nice. All right. And Jim Abrams now is some huge right-wing tool.
Yeah. I know it.
Yeah.
It's like ruined everything for me.
I bet he doesn't speak jive.
All right.
I speak jive.
Oh, good. Evan in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Stephanie, I'm so happy to be here. You know, I had no idea you even existed. I've listened to Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh for a long time. I'm a Republican.
Ew.
But I actually moved over.
I am here. I am here. Progressive Radio, we're like the Who's in Whoville. We are here. We are here. Yes. Thank you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Stephanie, like I said, I voted for Obama. I was a Republican for a long time, but there's a couple things about the war in Afghan. They're actually going to spend $1 million per soldier. It's crazy to me. I don't understand that. They spend $40,000 per inmate in the United States. I don't understand why. It's oil interest for me alone. I think that's probably the reason. And in the state of Florida, they ran out of the rebates for solar energy, so they don't give money for people trying to put solar cells on a house.
Evan, thank you. I lost the point of the story somewhere. However, as I understand it, Jim, the difference would be apparently you have to give soldiers weapons of some kind that cost money, whereas the point with prisoners is
and
that to not
and,
have weapons.
Yeah. And, yeah, it costs a lot to
arm
keep
and,
them fed
yeah.
and move them around.
Yeah.
Yes, and get the big head equipment with them and things like that.
Treat them when they get wounded.
Yeah.
All right. Other than that, it had a lot to do with solar panels, I think was the point.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for spending more on our soldiers than on our prisoners, but that's just me.
That's just you. Jerry in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jer.
Hi. The number one thing on my mind is why I'm never on your list of future husbands.
Well, you are now.
Okay. Hey, I thought there was something really, really weird about the president's speech at West Point.
What's happening, Jerry?
I have the radio on. Yeah, I've seen presidents address West Point before, but I don't recall there being Secret Service agents up in front of him between him and the cadets, watching the cadets. And I thought that was really weird.
Well, maybe they thought the party crashers were going to come back.
Yeah.
I assume that the president always had Secret Service with him. I don't think it's a threat from the soldiers.
Yeah, they're not always visible.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that point, though. Hmm. Okay. I guess that would be some sort of
the they're trying to make the point that he's afraid of his own soldiers.
Right? Yeah, that the troops don't like him. Okay,
like
I got it.
I didn't see any evidence of that.
No, not at all.
I did see evidence of people falling asleep.
Well, I think I would have.
Well, I think because they've probably been up since 4, you know,
yeah.
marching uphill with a 50-pound pack. And then it was a little after the bedtime, I think, the cadets.
Yeah. Democratic senator said they told Harry Reid they're willing to stay in session through the Christmas break to finish the health care reform bill. Because, you know, Chris, there's a light that's broken on the health care bill, and they're going to take
Bye,
it and fix
my
it.
My sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. Mm-hmm. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. Mm-hmm. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here.
And by fix, the Republicans mean if they put some stupid amendment that will...
That will kill it completely.
Kill it or stop it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Senator Sherrod Brown said people are willing to be here. We talked about the troops are in Iraq and Afghanistan on Christmas. There's no reason we can't be here. Dick Durbin said if the floor activity is any indication, the Republican caucus does not want this bill to be amended, debated, or even passed. So, that's basically it's still their mantra. They're just going to try to, you know, obstruct as much as they possibly can. I love this part. Do you know they've been saying for weeks they're doing this behind closed doors, the Democrats. On the Senate floor, Harry Reid made a request on behalf of Senator Blanche Lincoln that senators proposing amendments to the health care place the text of their amendment online. Immediately following the request, Senator Mike Enzi, Republican of Wyoming, took to the floor to object to the transparency proposal. Enzi argued that, exactly, it's in right. Yes. He argued that though the bill appears to lead to greater transparency, we can also see ways that this can limit the ability for the minority to offer amendments.
What?
No, it may limit the ability for people to not be able to see that you're being giant obstructionist tools.
Right.
You remember back in October, the RNC and the House Republican Conference churned out YouTube videos to attack Democrats for working behind closed doors. A week later, John Boehner attacked Democrats.
John
saying
Boehner.
That, thank you.
John Boehner.
Attacked Democrats saying, instead of losing the American people, Democrats hid behind closed doors.
Well, they posted stuff online so everyone could see it. They can't see it or they can't see it. Either way, it's bad. How can I throw it on the floor if it's online?
I had to throw my whole computer on the floor. And now I have to keep buying new computers. Mitch McConnell recently complained the health care bill was drafted behind closed doors.
Now that
Harry Reid's like, okay, let's put it all out there. That's online. Yeah. Let's put the amendments online so
and
everyone can see.
They hate that even more.
Damn it, it's too transparent. You can see everything.
Because the Republican amendments, Jim, I'm just kidding. They don't even say anything. They're just like, they literally probably just like write neener, neener, boo, boo on a piece of paper. Here, it's an amendment to... It's just, it's anything to stop it.
It's random letters that they've hit on their keyboard.
Yeah. It's like a cootie catcher that the Boehner made. And you know, like, what?
Jerry Lewis sees.
Stop the Frankenheisen, lady.
And lots and lots of adjectives and adverbs.
Yeah, they're just gibberish, exactly. Mm-hmm. It would be like a Jerry Lewis monologue just written on a paper and just to gum things up.
Or a Sarah Palin speech.
Oh, there you go.
A Republican senator from Wyoming wants to amend the process to say Frankenheisen. Wait a minute, what the hell does that say? All right, Senator Harry Reid on the health care debate.
Hopefully we can have some votes this afternoon. We've been unable to work that out with the majority, and we'll see what the afternoon brings.
Oh, boy.
I think the afternoon will bring a nap. That's what I foresee. A nice, long nap.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. He's trying. He's... We need Sister Mary Oliphant in charge of health care debate. We need the class to sit down and shut up and get this done. Hopefully we could have some
I was hoping that
could we all come to order, please?
Under some circumstances, perhaps maybe something
could we have a debate
be done that involves
health care reform. What is it?
Thank you.
See, that's what we need. That's all I'm saying.
Sister Mary Oliphant.
I think we can make Sister Mary Oliphant the Senate Majority Leader, just by a voice vote this afternoon.
Does she have to be that loud? I'm trying to take a nap.
There's no need for yelling. 57 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, bi-coastal version, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out, come live blog with us, come tweet me, won't you? Mama promises she'll hopefully have the pictures of Max and Fred's trip on Pet Airways here to New York.
I'm holding my breath.
I got a couple of pictures to you from my BlackBerry or something. I'll figure out the rest of them. Some of them are up
in the
which section?
In the gallery section. Just go to the Steph's Dogs section of the gallery section. You tried to text like 15 different pictures of me all at once, and I think
not of you, of Max and Fred.
Well, yeah, to me.
All right. Yes, I will get more pictures up. Also, if you go to the calendar section, you'll see that Mama will be in Chicago. Woohoo! This Saturday night, Bill Press and I will be doing an event for our WCPT. You can go to chicagosprogressivetalk.com to see if there's still VIP tickets available. The event is sold out.
Yes.
But you might get one of them there. Fancy tickets, if you're lucky. All right. You can email us all the old-fashioned way as well. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, Emmy Award-winning voice deity Jim Ward, a surly associate producer Rebecca Baker, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like many people did. Jim, by the way, my dogs, Max and Fred, they had a little initiation right in Central Park yesterday. They were roughed up by a lab dog gang. I think that
labs
they feel...
Labs are vicious.
Yeah, they're like, because it was muddy yesterday in New York, and they were like, hey, you got a little dirt on you, fluffy white Hollywood dog. How's that?
To New York.
Welcome to New York.
Not
boom!
Lick you.
Bada-boom!
Bada-bing!
So, but I also was saying, so there's two types of dogs so far in New York, and we were at the Riverside Park yesterday and at the Central Park. I'm kind of overstimulating them because, Anyway, but so there's either the tough dogs, there's tough New York dogs, or there's dogs that are wearing entirely too much clothing. You know, not just sweaters, but
raincoats.
Jewelry and jackets and...
painted nails.
Yes.
And bling.
Yes. Janaya writes, Steph, I heard you talking about dog shoes, because someone told me I also must have dog shoes for my dogs, which I just said I think is French and gay.
Yeah.
Although I share your unwillingness to put clothes on your dog, you need to reconsider your stance on dog shoes. Unlike beautiful and nearly perfect Los Angeles with canyons and mountains, the sidewalks in New York may present a health risk to Fred and Max. Great, something else to worry about. Electrical currents may be running through grates, manholes, or metal parts of the sidewalk. Con Ed has no idea where the stray electric currents are located. Oh, for the love of God. Fred and Max are vulnerable to be electrocuted if they're not wearing plastic shoes. What? Since you graduated from USC and you're extremely inept, I included a website where dog shoes can be purchased. Look, I'm not that big an idiot, everybody. Now I got to put shoes on my dogs before
we have different dangers here. We have rattlesnakes. You don't have rattlesnakes in New York City.
If there are, I'm sure I'll find them.
They
all
do
right.
Have coyotes.
Do they have coyotes in New York?
Really?
Really?
Well, they a few years ago, they were coming in through the tunnels.
Oh. Along with the alligators, whatever else there is down there.
Maybe they rid of the coyote problem.
Oh, and also, I told the story the other day of my landlord and landlady, Mel and Gail, who I love, who I have become like my parents already, and will not allow me to have a dog door because of safety. That's crazy California talk. Dog door, no!
Can't you just leave the door ajar?
Yeah, they'll like that. Anyway, Tom writes, Steph, I found this. This is what my listeners are doing. They're taking care of things for me on the web. I found this on the web. It's a power pet door that only pets can trigger. Maybe you can propose this to your landlords. Thank you, Tom. It's a thing you put a collar on your pet, and only the dog door goes up and down.
So they're worried about your safety or the safety of the dogs?
Falling off the edge of the terrace
garden. Your terrace plaza garden.
I don't have a terrace garden. I'm on the first floor.
On the first floor. Well, okay.
Yes.
In that case.
All right. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for doing all your internet research on dog shoes and powered dog doors. And I.
Whatever.
All right. All right. Let me, let's continue with the right-wing world, shall we, and see what's doing, everybody. Well, we watch so you don't have to.
So I've heard.
Well, When I say we, of course, I really mean you because I don't have a TV yet. Everyone, please pray with Mama that Slime Porner shows up today. My cable guy's supposed to come today between 2 and 4.
Of course.
Cable guy.
Are they laying bets on the live blog yet as to whether that's actually going to happen?
Of course, my watching had to be delayed, or it has to be delayed today because your people are going to show up today.
Yeah, squatter, you need to get out of my house. I'm getting renters in there.
Yeah.
You need to go back to your wherever you live, under the underpass in your mud hut.
Under the bridge downtown.
All right. Jim, they can't look at one of the bathrooms because Jazz is in there. Don't open that door. Yeah, so... All right. Fred Barnes, equally catty on the Britt Baer show on the... Wow! This is another theme, Jim, about how the troops don't like Obama. Uh-huh.
I think the president's very fortunate there was not an applause meter in that auditorium at West Point because the needle would not have been jumping. I mean, I think the cadets rendered sort of a verdict on it. You know, this is a guy, as the president said, is going to be their commander-in-chief. They're all going to go in the military. And they didn't seem very excited about what he said or about the fact that he was going to be their commander-in-chief.
They were all taking pictures with him at the end.
They're
disciplined. They don't jump up and scream.
They're
like
soldiers. Yeah. What do you think? They were going to be doing the wave and holding up placards?
They're not allowed to clap wildly.
Exactly. What an idiot.
They're soldiers. They're supposed to sit there, for God's sakes. Fred, that's hilarious.
Fred Barnes wouldn't know the first thing about being in the military.
Yeah, it didn't look like most presidential speeches, which looked like a deaf comedy jam normally at West Point. That's how that goes. There's usually people standing up and dancing and... Exactly. All right. Here we go again.
Let's get this party started, sir.
Woot.
Let's get it started quickly.
Okay.
Roger that.
We'll be riding high in my Mercedes-Benz.
Charles Krauthammer, must he say this again about, you know, Jim, we want a president whose heart is really in the war, the killing of the people.
Is his heart in it? He spoke about unwavering the resolve, and yet he talks about exit. He spoke about how the security of the world hangs on this, and yet he had a whole riff in the speech about how we have to look after our economy, how expensive war is,
yes,
and how we have to balance the various needs of our country. That is not a clarion call. It's an uncertain trumpet.
Oh, here we go again.
You don't think a president should be concerned about the budget or things other than war?
No.
That's his sole job.
It's an uncertain trumpet.
Blow stuff up. That's several uncertain trumpets. They're sort of in the same key.
That seems to be the main concern of the far right, Jim, is he's not using the right instrument. It's we need the slide whistle of war. We don't need an uncertain trumpet.
We need the clarion accordion of war. We need the Jew's harp of retribution.
The president is using the kazoo of war. He's not using the trombone that's necessary. Okay.
The Holy Harmonica.
Charles Krauthammer's an idiot.
Yes. Okay, oh, good. Prostitute toe-sucker Dick Morris on Obama during the speech.
The only reason he's making this decision is because he's afraid of the Taliban riding tanks into Kabul and everybody
thinking. Yeah, and he's a loser.
So he doesn't like the speech. You could tell he was angry that he had to give it.
How could you tell that?
Well, look at his body language and his face.
So are you Tanya Ryman now?
Look at his face at the start of the speech when he's talking about the war and at the end of the speech where he's talking about our hopes and dreams. He's frowning in the first part of the speech.
Yeah, but he's smiling this is war, second. Life and death. You're not supposed to be Mr. Happy up there.
No, but you're supposed to be inspiring.
Yeah, like I am. Just look at me. Just look at my face. It's turning red, and I'm sweating.
Inspiring.
I can't breathe. I can't do the sentence.
You can't see any facial expressions on Dick Morris because he's too fat.
Stop it.
His fat cells are covering whatever might be. You know what? Yeah, I hate to say it, but Bill O'Reilly made a good point there. He's talking about war. Look, why is he being such a grumpy Gus? Turn that frown upside down, Mr. President. You should be doing a happy dance. We should talk about killing people. That's what I always do. Well, hello.
I don't do an
dare
actual
I say
dance
it.
Because I can't move.
Like George Bush, who always had that weird, giggly, smirky expression on his face when he was talking about
grin.
Death and war.
they will be put to death. Just like I blew it up in them frogs when I was a kid.
I'm our president that's doing the happy joy dance over war. Why is he being so grumpy in that?
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
What an
happy,
idiot,
happy,
Tim
Horns
is.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy,
right
joy, joy.
Boom.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Yeah,
joy.
You know what, Jim? That's what I mean. Not just what a pleasure to see a president that's smart and eloquent, but that
understands
the gravity of the situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was even more disconcerting than what George Bush would be saying. Remember he'd do that weird telegraphing comedy eyebrow?
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of, there's a joke coming. It's like you're talking about war. No, stop smiling. Stop.
Ew. We'll drop napalm on little children. They'll blow up real good.
Speaking of giggly, here is the only person still giggling at Dennis Miller. That would be Dennis Miller.
Nobody gives a more eloquent or nuanced acquiescence to the bad guys than our president. That is a well-embroidered towel that he throws in. But, you know, the speaking trick's starting to damn itself. You know, it's turned in on itself. The guy now is on his 50th speech in a row where he's really eloquent about saying absolutely nothing.
See, it's funny because I'm laughing at myself.
How does he fill 3 hours a day with that?
That's a well-embroidered towel he's throwing in, but
who could listen to that for 3 hours a day?
I guess somebody. Anybody listen to Dennis Miller? Somebody? Tell us. Let us know. Okay, Hannity on the Afghanistan.
He only gives General McChrystal three-quarters of what he asked for. He says he's going to pull the troops out in 18 months. Does not put an emphasis on victory. It seems to me the moral equivalent of his entire career, or representative of his entire career, of threading the needle and voting present instead of saying we're going to be in this to win it and we're going to give the commanders the troops they need.
Wow. Oh, yeah. No, he clearly articulated that we're there to lose. Yes. Yeah, that was his point. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Boy, he can read Mark Levin talking points like nobody's business.
Yeah, he's good at that. That's one thing he's good at.
It almost sounds like he actually has thoughts in his head.
It's almost like he's a real boy.
He's like the best ventriloquist dummy since Jerry Mahoney.
Sean Hannity again.
So he's been in office nearly a year, and unemployment stands at 10.2%. The stimulus bill has not done the job to dent that number. So President Obama has decided to take things into his own hands. What has he decided? He's just going to give another speech. Now, tomorrow's White House Job Summit is a little more than a hollow effort to demonstrate that the president cares about you, the American people, and the people in this country that are unemployed, even if he has no idea what to do about this.
Yeah, things are going so well under Bush when last fall.
Yeah.
When Obama won in a landslide.
Oh, by the way, just FYI, Sean, here are the fun facts on the actual, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As just announced, the stimulus package saved or created as many as 1.6 million jobs.
Huh.
The stimulus bill has resulted in as many as 1.6 million jobs saved or created, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Additionally, the CBO said the gross domestic product was as much as 3.2% higher than it would have been in the absence of the stimulus. Republicans had attacked the White House jobs figures as trying to cover up economic reality by manufacturing job numbers out of thin air when the Obama administration released those same numbers a while back. And now the CBO has backed up the Obama administration that the stimulus bill is working.
And the Bush administration was trying to cover up how bad the economy was by not even talking about war expenditures.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't exist.
Right.
Off the books.
Yeah.
Black ops.
Exactly. All right. That concludes another vomitous right-wing world. Enjoy. 20 minutes after the hour.
That's a pretty well-embroidered towel you threw on there.
Chachi.
See, here's how you can tell the difference when someone is funny. When Jim Ward speaks on our show, we tend to laugh at him and not he doesn't laugh at himself.
Right. That's how comedy is done.
That's normally how it goes.
I think he would have learned that over the years, being a comedian, allegedly.
20 minutes after the hour.
Rick Overton was writing for him anyway.
Yeah.
What happens next on Healthcare and Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, yeah. Who wants to walk some white dinosaur dogs for Mama in New York City?
Boom, boom, shakalaka.
25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rebecca Baker, a surly associate producer.
Yeah, what?
I see that you you sent me an email. You sent me an email. You said, do I want an old lady intern in New York City?
Yeah.
First of all, she writes to her name's Carol, and she writes to Rebecca, Chris.
Uh-huh.
And she says, hi, Roebuck.
Roebuck?
Yeah, I was like, what?
As in Sears Ann?
If she gets your name right.
Yeah, maybe she'd get points for me passing that on to you.
Uh-huh. Hi, Roebuck. I'm volunteering my services as an unpaid intern in New York for Stephanie. My background is not unlike Jim Ward's. Oh, really? Look at that, Jim. I'm a member of all three acting unions. I want to trade time and services for learning more about the radio industry. She needs the help and I need the knowledge. I can forward both my acting and business resume. I'm not a spring chicken, more like a late summer duck. So I'm completely reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Not starstruck, meaning she probably could hate me like you do.
Well.
I've done scenes with everyone from Aries. Who's that, Jim?
Aries.
A-R-E-S? She thinks that's her qualification, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I've done scenes with everyone from Aries to Harrison Ford.
Oh.
Plus, I have my own FedEx account where they deliver, not in the Bronx.
that's the plus right there. Yeah. Take her. Take her.
As long as I can still audition and gig, well, Jim Ward does that. Mm-hmm. What's the loss? Thanks, Carol, who's passed something along to Roebuck in order to help me here in New York.
I know you were hoping for a strapping firefighter intern. I'm not getting any emails like that, though.
Roebuck, you must train her in the ways of hating and disrespecting Stephanie Miller. And then
it'll take her one day.
Yeah, I learned it 10 years ago.
All right, get out, you all surly right. Wench. Back to the phones. All right. Thank you, Roebuck. Okay. Tom in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Tom. Hi, Tom.
How are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Yes, you know, I was just thinking about the president's decision, and I remember more than a half a year ago, Robert Gibbs was saying at a press conference that getting out of Afghanistan was just not an option. And I think if you look at the process that the president took, the deliberative process, where he had to take weeks and weeks and meeting after meeting, it was because the logic of getting in just wasn't there. And he was looking for the intellectual construct to do it, and he just wasn't finding it. And so I think it's a very, I think he was very, very deliberative, but I don't think that he was, I think he was almost exclusively determined to get us in, and he was just having a hell of a time finding logic to do it.
All right, Tom. Thank you. All right, SpongeBob SquarePants debuted his song, Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas. We'll play a little taste of it again in Celebrity Stack next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You think so much, your head must hurt.
It does. It really does.
Now it's awful. So much thinking in radio. Especially without television, you have to tell me what I think. 33 minutes after the hour, my cable guy's coming today, everybody!
We hope. It is Manhattan, and it is Slime Porner.
1-800. He brings not just the TV, Chris. He brings the DSL and the phone line. So, okay, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mike in Santa Barbara. Oh, wait a minute. Roma in Santa Fe wants to tell me my old intern that wants to come to work here in the New York Bureau. She said she's done a scene with Aries, and that's what qualifies her. Who is Aries, Roma?
Aries is the god of war that was in Xena and Hercules.
Xena, warrior princess?
That's right. And Aries actually had a daughter with Xena named Eve who saved the day.
Oh, that was before she was with Meredith Baxter. Was that correct?
Stop it.
I kid. All right. Thank you. What? Thank you for calling. Oh, that clears that up for me. She's done a scene on Xena Warrior, Princess Jim. Can you believe you got this job without benefit of having not done a scene?
I did ADR on Xena Warrior Princess. Mostly.
Explain what ADR is for the layperson.
It's an automated dialogue replacement, something like that. It's where you go fill in the background voices. Largely guys getting shot through the throat with an arrow. So I did a lot of that.
Oh, wait, could you do that again, please? Go
ahead. That's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, that's a professional. That's an Emmy Award-winning voice guy, ladies and gentlemen. Could you please do a guy being shot through the throat with an arrow by Xena? Okay.
What kind of arrow?
Anyway. See, that was her main qualification to work at the Stephanie Miller newscast. She has done a scene with Ares and with Harrison Ford.
But Ares is just the general god of war.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for clearing that
up.
Mike in Santa Barbara, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Hi, you guys. I just want to make two points about the Afghan war that I'm not hearing on the radio that much since Obama made his speech. The first one is, with regards to the statement that I keep hearing, well, you know, he campaigned that he was going to expand the effort in the Afghan war. And so as if progressives on the left can't criticize him for expanding the Afghan war because we voted for him. Well, some of us, myself, voted for him because we were voting against McCain and Palin, even though Obama wasn't progressive enough for us. So I think we're still entitled to criticize the Afghan war, even though we voted for Obama.
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of people of good conscience that have differing views on what to do about Afghanistan. Right. It's a tough problem.
Right, exactly. I'm not criticizing you guys, per se. It's just I haven't heard that really on any of the radio stations that, look, it's still okay to criticize them about the war. But the second thing, way back in 2001, when Bush was getting us into Afghanistan, there was all this hue and cry on the left about how the Afghan war, if you do a quick Google search, you see, on Afghan war illegal or Afghan war, unjustified. And there's all these, alternate counterpunch, all these articles about how the Afghan war is really an illegal war and Bush was committing war crimes. And in my view, Obama is making a big mistake here continuing the Afghan war for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that it's immoral and illegal, and he's committing war crimes the same as Bush was. If he continues along this path...
Well, I agree with you about Iraq. I don't necessarily agree about Afghanistan.
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, because it gets into, international law and stuff like that. It starts getting pretty wonky.
Right. No, but I mean, they did... I mean, obviously, they were harboring the people that attacked us, so that, that is a different...
Again, we could really have a long discussion about it, but just do a quick Google search on Afghan war illegal, and you'll get all kinds of articles from the left.
Thank you, Mike.
Jonathan Alter and people like that about the details about why it's an illegal war.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right. Listen, you can Google anything and get something that will tell you. All right. Jim, did you
there's plenty of stuff out there on the Google about you.
Oh, dear God. Did you,
some
Jim?
Of it
you
may be true.
Did you think the Afghanistan war was illegal? I didn't.
I think he's talking about specific acts of war, the things that are happening with the drones, for example. We're hitting civilians in the process of taking out the bad guys. Was it even a declared war, the Afghanistan war?
We just
went in to try to...
No, I remember I was in New York after 9/11, and, I remember hosting a panel, and I think Eve Ensler was on it, who I love, but there are some people on the left that are very, very PC. And she's like, she was serious. I think we should draw doves over Afghanistan.
Oh.
That was right after 9/11. To show them that we...
thanks for the food.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
As God is my witness, I thought doves could fly.
Rich in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Rich.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. My concern was all the so-called private security forces that are being deployed to Afghanistan. And I wondered when the president says that we're going to spend $30 billion to send 30,000 troops, and I see someone on a TV show saying, of course, we're going to send an additional 30,000 or more private security forces over there. Mm-hmm. Is that being included in that cost? Mm. And the other thing that scares me about that is the term private security forces.
Yeah.
When you hear people like Charles Krauthammer, questioning the troops' loyalty, You know, our tax dollars are really paying for these so-called private forces. I think I'd rather see them under the, being commanded by our actual military commanders, not the CEO of Blackwater.
Yeah, I love how tricky Halliburton is being, Jim, by changing their name to Z.
That's Blackwater.
Thank you, Rich. I was going to say...
But there are no rules of engagement for these private companies, and they've been murdering people in Iraq and getting away with it. Eric Prince, the head of the artist formerly known as Blackwater. Is one of these real extreme right-wing Christianist crusader guys who wants to start the Crusades again and destroy all of Islam.
Yeah.
Everybody. You know, that's...
That's an interesting thought, though, is that you get caught doing something bad, just to change the name of your company real quick. Just, just draw a Z on your forehead. No, I'm with Zorro. I'm not Blackwater. What?
It's Zima.
No. Yeah. Zima.
I'm a Zima and Mr. Pibb. All right. Tom Kenny was here earlier. SpongeBob SquarePants, he will join us live in studio in L.A. In a couple of weeks. But, Ryan Seacrest can eat my shorts because, as you know, all the big musical artists are debuting their songs on our show. Here's a little taste of Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas.
Ahoy, everybody! SpongeBob here! Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world, it's a thing to do. But the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. There's a sign above the line that says express. That means 10 items or less. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
It's Christmas.
Thank you, Tom.
Yay. And you can get that on iTunes, and there's also a video for it up at YouTube, and we have a link to that at stephaniemiller.com.
I believe the original title was Don't Be a Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then they wrote it for SpongeBob, and they said no, SpongeBob would not
maybe
know
not
that
for the
word.
Kids.
That word doesn't exist in Bikini Bottom.
Speaking of big songs, Susan Boyle leads the pack. I Dreamed a Dream, which still makes me cry when she sang the I Dreamed a Dream, debuts at number one. With sales of 701,000, the biggest one-week sales total of 2009. Good for her. Only one debut album in Nielsen history has sold more copies. That's the equally feminist Snoop Doggy Dog's Doggy Style.
Oh, dear.
For those of you keeping track of the year of the woman in the music industry. And also in television news, ABC News says Charlie Gibson will sign off from World News tonight on December 18th and be replaced by Diane Sawyer. You know who could not be more thrilled is former, you know who I mean.
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly of ABC Nightly News. Turns out Charlie Gibson will soon be formerly of ABC World News. ABC executives have been frantically scrambling to locate a replacement, but have finally landed on Diane Sawyer. No, not literal. Sadly, I hear she's a live wire. A real lascivious libidinous lynx.
Ow. I think he sprained a tongue with that one.
Get the pencil. 43 minutes after the hour, back with some of the funniest Tiger Woods and Meredith Baxter stuff I've ever read as Celebrity Stack continues on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, except I got to go farther uptown to get a FedEx package.
I don't think you.
They won't
even
deliver it to my house. Yeah, you got to go to the Bronx and pick it up. Would that be convenient?
They don't even consider the Bronx uptown. It's just the Bronx.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the first bi-coastal radio show ever. 1-800-STEPH. I think so.
All right.
Prove me wrong. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mama going to Chicago this weekend. Oh, also go to stephaniemiller.com, and you got to pick up a copy of the new book, Going Rouge.
Yes.
Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare. Hilarious. I started reading it last night, but go to stephaniemiller.com and click on it and pick it up. It's hilarious. All right, and also it's making Sarah Palin and company really mad because people are buying that book thinking it's hers.
Yeah.
That's so great. That's better than turning Ann Coulter's book upside down.
Mike in Chicago,
you
you're on the...
actually buy the wrong book.
Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, gang. Steph, first of all, did you hear that FedEx and UPS are actually going to be merging?
Oh.
They're going to be called FedUp. Yeah. But I want to let you guys know that I'm out by Woodfield right now, and it's starting to snow. So by the time you get here on Saturday, we should have black ice. And
wow.
You can get acclimated to New
great.
York real well.
Nice.
Terrific. Oh, my God. That's perfect timing because I bought a really cute hat yesterday on the street.
Yeah. Don't wear heels when you're...
You guys are going to want this hat. You're going to say, give me this hat. So
cute. Did you guys happen to hear that Gordon Brown was against this troop surge so much that he donated only 500 troops because he said, I have to donate something just because I'm part of the whole peace alliance? But if it was up to him, he wouldn't have done any.
Yeah, he's a. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, all we're right. donating 30,000. He's giving 500.
Great.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's, we'd like to thank you. Thanks, Mike, for calling. We'd like to thank you, President Bush, once again, for endearing us to the whole world, which will take us years and years to dig our way out of. Thank you. All right. Oh, here's some romantic news. Tom and Katie are going to have another baby, Jim.
Really?
Hmm.
Who's the donor? I mean,
Jim Louise.
They
celebrated their third anniversary. They're said to have agreed the time is right to add to their family and give 3-year-old daughter Suri a little sibling. They figure, why not, Jim? Because they're having so much sex, and her bags of sand are driving them crazy.
Right.
So, okay.
So they're in love.
Inevitable that that they'll have another kid with all that.
All right. Speaking of. Love stories. The superficial.com with some particular snark about the Hasselhoff family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. The superficial.com writes, David Hasselhoff was either hospitalized for a seizure or put on psychological hold for the weekend. Regardless, it's pretty much given that he drank an entire replica of Kit filled with bourbon, then lost consciousness. On top of that, his ex-wife Pamela Bach managed to get herself picked up for DUI the next day. I'm going to assume a traditional Hasselhoff family Christmas involves everyone gathered around the tree unwrapping their annual gift of a new liver in a cooler. Oh, superficial. Come on. All right. Delisted, I have to say, some of the funniest I've read in a while on celebrity gossip. Delisted writes, Tiger Woods' statement, did you see it on his website?
Yes.
It's like War and Peace. Tiger Woods' statement is so damn long that when you finish reading it, you'll feel like Ellen just busted you in the skull with an iron. What's with all the damn words? If you're going to talk, just be blunt. Tiger should have just issued a simple statement like some hose on the side. So if you see Ellen smelling my crotch when I come home, now you know why. Get off my, except for the cocktail waitresses, and leave me alone. He should have let T-Listed write his statement.
Yeah.
I still got a lot of holes to play. No, he actually said that, I believe. Yeah.
Uh-oh, yeah. Did he really?
Meaning on the golf course.
Yes,
oh,
I'm sure that's what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
Delisted also with the...
I think you've had way too much fun as it is.
Delisted also with the breaking news from yesterday. Mrs. Keaton is a proud member of the Gay Elle Club. Meredith Baxter has swung open the front doors of Home Depot and run through the aisles declaring her love for vagina while sawdust confetti fell from the sky.
Oh.
In interviews with The Advocate today and People, Mrs. Keaton has come out as a late-in-life lesbian. Skippy's glasses just exploded. If there was... Delisted, right? If there was one member of the Keaton family I figured winked at the ladies, it was Tina Yothers. I mean, she knew how to wear the out of a flannel shirt.
Oh,
hilarious.
Good for her. Good for
Yes,
Meredith
I was
Baxter.
Saying, I saw her on the Today Show. She was adorable. She was really nervous.
Very nervous.
I felt bad for her. She's a very private person, and we give her a big rock on. She was,
although, I have some friends who are...
No, I was saying, I don't even get the line of, well, you played a mother on TV. Well, Mr. Brady played a father,
yeah, exactly.
So what?
I have some friends who were at what they called a power lesbian party about 7 years ago here in Los Angeles, and
yes.
She was there with her brand new girlfriend. So,
look at you with a little inside.
Well, no. They said they wonder why it hasn't come up in conversation before. Because she's been out, you know, but just not publicly, I suppose.
Oh. What's a power lesbian?
That's what they
party?
Called it.
You have to have a power tool, or is it
the lesbians who have the power in Los Angeles? I guess.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
As opposed to a glider lesbian. I guess.
She actually told us it was actually kind of a cute story. She wasn't comfortable yet because her girlfriend is a contractor, so she drives a truck.
Oh.
And she said I used to ask her if she could park down the street.
Oh.
Could you park your truck down the street? And her girlfriend said no.
No,
I can't.
Oh, that's sweet.
All right. Jesus Luz.
No, not Jesus.
It's Jesus. It's Portuguese, not
Whatever.
Spanish.
Whatever. He's the Madonna's Brazilian 22-year-old model boy toy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He says he is more than just arm candy from Madonna. Raw.
Uh-huh.
He's a career man.
Oh, what career?
Thanks to Madonna. He said, I have two careers going on, modeling and DJing. He laughed off claims that Madge was giving him an allowance. He said, I am laughing so loud. Ha ha, ha ha,
ha ha.
Lucy. He's laughing so loud about that. All right. By the way, this one I forgot to mention yesterday. This is a really sad celebrity stack story, but a former Miss Argentina died. Did you hear about this? She had elective butt implant surgery. 37 years old. She suffered a pulmonary embolism. She's a wife and mother of 7-year-old twins. She suffered a pulmonary embolism the day after her surgery from a butt implant. Did you see the pictures of her? She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Already.
Oh,
and
that's too bad.
Listen, I don't recommend it. And Chris, you saw Mama right after her last.
Yeah, I did. I really wish I could get that image out of my head.
Freshening. Oh, that's right. I had a little freshening a few years ago, and I would never do it again. It was awful. It's dangerous. It's surgery. It's serious surgery, and you don't realize it.
Years ago.
Yes. You think it's Hollywood. It's a little nip and a tuck. It's a little, I'm just having a little, $5,000 nap. I'm just having a little freshen up.
No, when I came over, it looked like you had gotten in a major car accident. Oh, Jesus! God! That's not a little nip and tuck.
You got hit in the face.
My friend told me it's like someone took a basketball pump to Minnie Driver's head. I don't know why. My head was just enormous. I had staples and drains, and my eyes were like swollen shut, and it was just, yikes. Okay. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller. Or no, I'm sorry, Paul in Vermont. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Stephanie, congratulations for being on this coast.
Thank you, baby.
I want to see if I can
it wasn't that hard. Anybody can buy a plane ticket and get to this coast.
No,
it's not really an accomplishment.
I want to say to your technical crew, it's ugly to do what you're doing, and I'm really impressed. Okay?
It's ugly when I'm the one in charge of the buttons on this end.
Hey, I just want to see if I can get nominated Circle of Vermonter, to see if I can do that. I'm about to have a birthday, and it's getting ugly. Uh-huh. And I did want to make two small observations.
Uh-huh.
Observation number one is about Afghanistan. I was looking at the map. How hard would it be to take a bunch of big trucks full of all the opium in Kabul and drive it down to Iraq, to Iran? It would pacify them. And we could trade it to them for oil.
Oh, I see. Good idea. Thank you for calling. Okay, very good. Yes, let's just get everyone in Iran high and calm them down. Well, we are problem solvers here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Tomorrow, Christian Wellow from RoboCop and Center for the American Progress. He's the fancy economist guy. We'll update us on the economy. And, of course, Fridays with John Fugelsang live here in the New York Bureau with Stephanie Miller.
He's going to be in there all 3 hours with you again.
Wow.
Boy. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer, and new radio superstar Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.